Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everyone. We're back. It's the trio. I'm here with Tim, here with Will. Got myself, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. Fellas, it's great to see you guys again. We should do this more often.
We really should. People are clamoring for it.
Yeah, we got to start selling merch.
And you seem like you've been a little down this week, you know, and nothing is a better pick-me-up for somebody than just a little bit of time with the trio and the fever sweat.
I will say, one of the reasons I got down this week is because I made the mistake of going into our Reddit community, which is 95% positive. But then I found a few strays that I was taking. People think I laugh too much. Yeah. What's wrong with laughter?
A lot of complaints out there on the internet. You got to watch out for that. A lot of complaints on there on the internet.
The internet should be a nicer place, I feel like. Yeah. But the internet is not a nice place. It's filled with anger, insults, and conspiracists. And that brings us to this episode, because late afternoon yesterday, a series of tweets, what was it, 13 or was it 11, Will?
13.
All right. So yeah, yesterday, FBI director's girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, decided to just go on a Twitter rampage in which she threw a bunch of accusations against prominent conservative figures that they may be foreign ops. Before we get into the heart of it, I just want to step back and sort of emphasize how fucking bizarre this is that the FBI director's girlfriend is doing this. You don't normally do this. And Will touched upon it in his newsletter, but if there were issues with foreign operations and foreign influences of some of the biggest conservative voices like Candace Owens, Michael Flynn, and Tucker Carlson, there is someone who could look into this, and that would be the FBI director.
Yeah, the 13-tweet thread about how she is not a Mossad honeypot is raising a lot of questions answered by the 13-tweet thread.
Which was retweeted by members of the Netanyahu family. So no. There you go.
Well, okay, let's back up a little bit, because I don't know if everyone's going to know who Alexis Wilkins is. Why don't you start there?
Sure. So Alexis Wilkins is the country music singer who is dating Cash Patel. He's called her a sensation. She is, I would say, significantly younger than him, the problematic age gap, perhaps. She's also,
a lot of problems. Just fine. Age gap's fine.
Kidding.
All right.
The physical beauty gap is the problem, right?
Beauty gap is significant.
To most, she's hotter than Cash. I think it's fair to say. And so, they say power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, but, when Cash first started saying that Epstein killed himself and all this, people started accusing her of being a Mossad honeypot. Now, she's not Israeli. She's not Jewish. She's worked with some Jewish people in conservative media, but that is sort of the evidence. And now she's sued multiple conservative media figures for saying she works for the Mossad. And that kind of brings us up to this current moment.
So what is this current moment?
So she comes out with this week a thread where basically she fed all of these tweets calling her a Mossad agent and other kind of like generally divisive tweets from Tucker Carlson, from Candace Owens. She fed those into, I would say, ChatGPT or Claude. And then it kind of spits out this thing. And it's sort of one of these, wow, that's a great insight, Alexis. You made a really good point there. And then she posts that and says, I've analyzed this. And I have found that all of these people are part of a foreign influence operation.
Yeah, I just want to just pick one of the tweets, for example. And Sam, thank you so much for starting with this, because I do just want to send an apologies to the people that went to the Tim live stream on Tuesday night, because on that live stream, I promised a monologue about Alexis Wilkins at the end of the show. I had a couple glasses of wine during the stream. It was very long, and I forgot about the promise that I made, and there was definitely some feedback about people who were waiting anxiously for my takes on this. So thank you for bringing it up, and my apologies for making people wait 48 hours. I just want to do a little bit of a dramatic reading from the thread, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Chapter 1, 4 out of 13, May 2024. 10 days before the Butler assassination attempt, Ivan Raiklin, former Green Beret, former Defense Intelligence Agency, board member of Michael Flynn's nonprofit, America Future, posed directly to Elon Musk and J.D. Vance. General Flynn would make Trump assassination proof. 166 retweets, 14 tightly clustered time windows, amplified within 1 second.
What?
Like, what is happening? The thread is ostensibly about how people, there's foreign influence into the effort by some conservative media members to smear her as a Mossad agent and a honeypot. And like, she goes on this deep, into these deep rabbit holes that like raise many more questions than they answer. It's like, what is the connection with between Ivan Raiklin's tweet about the Trump assassination to her? Is she suggesting that there was an inside job related to the Trump assassination? If so, what is her boyfriend doing? Why is she tweeting about this? Should not her boyfriend be looking into Ivan Raiklin and General Flynn? I don't know. It seems like yes.
Well, it's pretty remarkable that she took maybe 100 tweets and fed them into an AI and sort of got to the bottom of this foreign influence op. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that previously we needed like a special counsel investigation to prove. Now Alexis was able to do it. I mean, she's pulling in Candace Tucker. You mentioned Ivan Raiklin. You know, it's basically anyone who's like kind of one of these insurgent right-wing quasi anti-Trump figures. Does she say what country it is? No. But you know, she feels really confident that she's proved something here.
I'd like to move us ahead to a later chapter, chapter 4, 9 out of 13. Because you mentioned, Will, that she put some data into I would say Grok. You keep suggesting.
Chapter 4 is 8 out of 13. Or chapter 4 is 8 out of 13.
Yeah, it's a two-part. It's a two-parter.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you. It begins the first part of chapter 4, the first section. Chapter 4, section 1 reviews Joe Kent's resignation and how he suspiciously was invited to a gala for Catholics for Catholics following his resignation. Catholics for Catholics is under suspicion as part of the foreign influence op. But then she goes on to lay out where all this data is coming from. And she writes this: the data across all six chapters, 3,166,207 retweet engagements, 80% amplification rate, abnormal volumes of accounts documented across multiple chapters spanning 22 months. The same accounts that were active before Butler in 2024 are active again as Joe Kent is fired in 2026, this is not a series of separate events. It is a single persistent infrastructure activated at each fracture point.
Yeah.
What?
I think she's onto something. So when you initially sent in this article and I was looking at it, I don't know why I did this, because now that I'm reading about it, I was totally wrong. But I took out the line that you said this was fed through a ChatGPT. This is the most ChatGPT text thread I've ever read in my life. There is not an original edit at all here. Even the presentation is completely ChatGPT. And now I'm sort of curious, do you think she put any effort into this or just decided to feed it and then post it? And then secondarily, and I'll start with you, Tim, on this one, how do you think the conversation went down between her and Cash before she posted this? Do you think she actually alerted to him, say, hey, honey, I'm going to throw out some tweets on the thread tonight?
Great question, Sam. I just want to reemphasize, this was Grok. You know, okay, this is Grok. We're at the lowest, the bottom basement.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at the bottom basement here of the various AI options. Okay, I know that you guys are high class AI users. She's sure on Grok. Okay, did she show it to Cash? I guess I imagine that the relationship between Alexis and Cash is kind of similar to the relationship between J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. I don't think Cash is saying no to Alexis very much. So did she alert him to the fact that she was firing off a totally insane 13-point thread about a foreign influence operation that ties her Mossad honeypot allegation to Trump's assassination plot to the Joe Kent firing? I don't believe so. I assume not. I assume she probably was like, hey, honey, I did a little bit of research on the troll farms looking into us, and I'm going to post about that. And he was like, great, babes. Great. Okay. Let me know when you need to have the plane come pick you up. I think that's probably
Will,
what
happened. How's this going
and
over?
And then it got posted and Cash is like, what? It's just like, honey, I've got a team there. I know there aren't that many agents left at the FBI because I've fired any of all the good ones, but like there are at least some people here that could have looked at this, I think.
Yeah, or edited it.
This is unintelligible.
It's been embraced by the people who are opposed to people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, who are acting like this is just this, you know, huge, you know, she's really gotten to the bottom of it. You know, on the other hand, you know, it is kind of crazy that she went ahead and accused, you know, some of the biggest right-wing media figures of being foreign agents, as we've talked about, presumably without clearing it with cash. Also, this is the same week the Trump administration just settled with Michael Flynn for like $1.5 million. Now, she's also accusing him of being a foreign agent. I mean, should we be paying, you know, someone that, you know, the FBI director's girlfriend thinks is a spy, perhaps? You know, maybe not.
Can I say no? I would say I'm a hard no, regardless of whether, well, we do know that Michael Flynn was a foreign agent for the government of Turkey already, okay?
Yes.
So she is now suggesting that he was also part of another foreign influence campaign, which I think is probably the most reasonable of the things that she put forth. That's not a big jump for me. But no, I do not believe, you said the Trump administration settled. I guess the Trump administration settled did, but we did. I mean, the American people settled. You, everyone listening to this,
who pays
taxes, contributed to the payoff that we sent to Donald Trump's first national security advisor because of this imaginary accusation that he was targeted falsely by the government, even though he was absolutely colluding with the Russians and on the take from a foreign country while he's national security advisor. Now, I know you look at this now in 2026 and you think, is it that big of a deal that the national security advisor is on the take from a foreign country, since most inside players in this administration are on the take from foreign governments and making money from inside info based on gambling? You wouldn't think so. But back in the early days of 2017, when we were all young and didn't have any grays, that was kind of a big deal to be on the take from a foreign country while you were a national security advisor.
This episode is brought to you by Pocket Hose, the world's number one expandable hose. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's pocket pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're done, the rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Trust me, I use Pocket Hose all the time. Never have a hose break. Reach those tough-to-reach flowers out there in the yard. It is great. After trying Pocket Hose, I'm never going back. The hose is so lightweight and durable, watering the yard is an easy, easy, easy task. More importantly, it's a dream. For a limited time, our listeners can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text TAKES to 64,000. That's TAKES, T-A-K-E-S, to 64,000 for your two free gifts with purchase. TAKES to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for detail. You know, you just raised the point I kind of wanted to make, which is, we're at this place now in conservative media, or I guess the conservative media ecosystem writ large, where basically everyone is accusing everyone else of being a foreign agent. I mean, maybe they are, but this seems to be like the sort of modern day effort to smear your enemy, just to say, hey, you clearly have foreign money behind you. And it's all over the place, right? Like Loomer accuses people of being on the take. I guess Tucker's on the take. Tucker Carlson? And Loomer's being accused of being on take by a number of different industries. She's like tweeting out about like Venezuelan oil randomly all the time. And this just becomes part of the conversation now. And I guess if everyone's on the take, then no one can get smeared. So I guess for Alexis, she's like, why don't I just get in on this?
If everyone's an op, then nobody's an op. That's something to consider, Will.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, I you know, to the point that that you made earlier, Sam. I mean, it is. I would love to see Alexis just cut her off from any AI, give her 30 minutes to explain like what she means here, and you know, I don't think she could do it.
Yeah, I would love it. You can come on the trio, Alexis. All right, let's move on because the next one is Candace Owens.
Before we go to Candace, can I just get a quick count? Sam, you follow the news a little closer than I do. Sure. So far, has Cash successfully indicted anyone that is involved in the op against his wife or the op against Trump or part of the 2020 election fraud scandal, the biggest scandal in history? Has he No. Has he found a criminal yet?
No. And why? And clearly that's starting to bother people, right? Because they want to know why he's sitting on his hands. He gets a lot of shit. That's what was people were mad about Dan Bongino for the last time we did a video where, what were they saying? Don't be afraid of Satan, Dan. It's like they're all getting in Dan Bongino's face for not doing this. So obviously there's a lot of anger over the lack of action there. All right, Candace, she perplexes me every single day. But this one is kind of interesting because she's now going after Nick Shirley, who, if people forget, Nick has had moments of infamy and fame. He's, you know, gone after corruption in Minnesota, seems to have tried to do the same in California, doesn't seem to care all that much about corruption in any red state, but is now this anti-fraud warrior on the right. And then suddenly I wake up today or I come into the office and people are mad because Candace is going after him. And I don't get it. Will, what is going on?
Yeah, so there's an important context to get into here. So basically, Candace's feud with Nick Shirley started on Monday or Tuesday, where basically she's trying to prove that Andrew Colvett, Charlie Kirk's right-hand man, that he could not have been on this particular plane on the day of the assassination. She's obsessed with planes, right? Egyptian planes, whatever. And so she's trying to prove that he pre-recorded an interview with Nick Shirley to kind of get his whereabouts.
Happened to find myself on top of Brazil's largest favela in a destroyed house interviewing gang members of one of the largest gangs in Brazil.
Okay, I'm just going to say I don't believe that at all. I'm sorry. I just, it's so stupid. I'm not even going to tell you why I don't believe it. It's like, if you don't know that that's stupid, that he infiltrated the gang in 48 hours. That's so dumb. I'm so tired of dumb. That's not how that works. Okay. You don't just go up to gangs on the street as a nice looking white boy with a camera and say, hey, I just wanted to sort of like see what you're doing here. What's going on? Okay. That's just stop. That's stupid. Of course, that's dumb. I'm sorry, Nick. I know you're young. I hope, you know, whoever is your contact that has you infiltrating Antifa and infiltrating El Salvador at the age of 23 years old, it just feels like Sean Penn young to me.
But to prove this was fake, she has to prove that Nick Shirley is also an intelligence operative. So she goes back through the Nick Shirley archives and she says, well, how could this guy go to this Brazilian favela? Because Nick Shirley, he goes to some favela and he's like, in just 48 hours, I like got in tight with the gang. And he shows himself like dapping up these gang members. Now, what I think was going on, Nick probably went and paid some fixer who said, all right, I'll get a guy in a mask who's going to tell you how cool it is to be in a gang. But basically, she's arguing this guy has to be in the CIA. There's no other way he could do this. And so that's why, you know, you can't trust him.
As the only person on the trio who's been to a Brazilian favela,
I'm not going
to give you any details on why I did that. But, you know, I had fun in my youth. I can weigh in and say that it's a little easier than you think to get into the favela. I don't know any Portuguese, but I don't think it's a ton of evidence that I'm a CIA plot. I don't have any pictures to prove it, but you'll have to take my word. I'm going to say this about this feud. So I was interviewing Pumps from I've Had It podcast, iHip News on yesterday's podcast. And they have a segment called Hit It or Had It. And at the end of the segment, I was doing that with her with various figures. And I brought up Candace. And you could tell she was about to say hit it, which is a good answer. And she's tempted. She was interested. There's a lot of Candace is compelling her. And I interrupted her and started screaming, no, 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 please, no, please, no. And I think that little exchange tells you a little bit something about what Candace's strategy is here. Because I think over many trio videos we've been trying to unpack, is she having a psychotic break? Is this a strategy? Because it's not. It isn't a clear grift. Like, it's the easy thing to say is like, oh, this is a grift. But it's like, well, there are a lot easier ways to grift in conservative media than like coming up with elaborate plots about why Charlie Kirk was killed by the French Legionnaires. Like, I guess more simple grift would have been like a trans chaser or whatever they call them, you know, like a furry chaser. You know, he was a furry chaser that killed Charlie Kirk, and like the trans ideology is bad and it's all about trans. Like that would have been a nice little single down the plate to grift in the conservative media space, make the Charlie Kirk murder about trans, because there was some evidence of that. She didn't do that. You know, she went for the grand slam, which was the French Legionnaires and Brigitte Macron and the penis and, you know, the underwater bee colony. And, you know, okay, so that makes you wonder, okay, what's happening here? What's her strategy? What's the game she's playing? And increasingly, I think by going after Nick Shirley, like going after the Trump deep state. I think she's maybe considering that she can bring in, and I don't mean this as an insult to Pumps, who ended up coming in and saying the correct thing about Candace, but maybe she can bring in conspiratorial-minded lefties who share her skepticism about Israel and about the Trump administration and the Trump deep state, and she can take her core base of, what are they called, Will? Candestans?
Standuses,
thank you. She can take her core base of standuses and add on to that some conspiratorial lefties, and then add on to that some people that watch it the way you watch a car crash. You're just like, what is happening? This is so, I can't look away. And she can build a new audience out of that that separates her a little bit from the right-wing grift audience. So that's my new analysis of what's happening.
I'm gonna counterpoint, if that's okay.
I'm not that confident about this. I'm positing a theory.
I think she's had a break, like a true break with reality. I don't think she's calculating that much. This is just an outgrowth of Glenn Beck, right? I mean, the Glenn Beck chalkboard era was like a big deal in the Obama era. And that was just tracing all the little lines that connected all the people and, you know, all their shady operatives and things like that. And if you just didn't see it, you weren't really thinking deep enough. And the reason she couldn't do the trans fury thing after Charlie Kirk is because everyone else was doing that. And she had to have one level of distinction between the crowd. And so she's got to go a level deeper. For her popular appeal, I do think she has her finger on the pulse for that, which is she's glossed onto a bunch of these sort of, murder mysteries and, you know, soap opera detective things. And, you know, like the what was the one with a Boston cop and his wife who died? Like she was like super into that. And so she's got some cultural panache that no one else does. But I don't think that's because she's trying to win over lefties. I just think she sees conspiracies around every corner.
Yeah. So I think I have a bit of information that may help settle this dispute between the two of you.
Well, who do you side with?
Well, so what happens is I think Sam may be more right, at least in this case, in terms of the psychotic break. Because after this aired, Candace then said the next day, she was like, I demand answers from Nick Shirley. And she had to come out and say, well, never mind. Turns out I was totally wrong about the plane. You know, we can leave Nick Shirley alone. I got the planes mixed up. It doesn't really have anything to do with this boy. So I guess we're going to leave out there that he's a CIA agent, but maybe we haven't nailed it down.
Hell yeah.
It feels fine. We're just positing.
I got my finger on the pulse.
We're spitballing out here. Okay. This isn't about, this isn't about wins and losses. This is what I tell my 8-year-old girls. You know, it's about improving every week. You know, it's good sportsmanship. Having a good attitude.
Yeah, I tell my kid that too, but I'm dying on the sidelines if we lose. All right, last one. This one is hot. I'm not sure how much I want to touch this one, but let's play the video. This thing's been going viral this morning. This is Dresky mimicking Erica Kirk. It is so hot. It's uncomfortably hot. Let's play it.
Sweet cream foam chai ice matcha. And Bella will have all organic pup cup.
Organic?
Yes, everything organic.
All right, we can stop it there. We don't need to play more than
We can.
That is fine.
Yeah, this is rough for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
As of now, this has 70 million views. Okay. An astonishing number. I'm not going to address this. I don't want to touch this at all. Tim, thoughts?
I'll gladly address it. Thank you for asking me. Some right wingers, including Clay Travis, who, you know, just want to rage bait, are out there being like, this is white face. Because Drewski, for people who don't know, is a black comedian. This is white face. This is offensive. You could never do this if you were a white person. It's just like, wah, wah, wah. It's great content. I mean, dude nailed it. Dude nailed it. Look at them side by side. I've never seen anything like it. And it is a miracle of modern artistry. He should receive an Emmy for, do they give Emmys out for hair and makeup? Costume design. He should win a costume design Emmy for this. It is brilliant. I, more than maybe anyone, have been out here on the streets being like, poor Erica, leave her. Everybody's being too harsh on her. Leave her alone. The conspiracies about Erica are mean. Like, just let her be. Her husband died. It's got to be hard. Stop with the conspiracies. Stop with the accusations. And I stand by that. This is comedy, though. This is comedy. And you've put yourself in the public space, and people can make jokes and do skits about you. That comes with the territory. People make fun of you on Reddit, Sam. It's just, it's part of the deal.
Yes.
If you're a minor notable, she's a major notable. And so I got to say, you just have to hand it. I mean, it is, the execution is off the charts. And you could see all the ways in which that could go wrong. Do you remember when the Free Press gal tried to imitate John Oliver?
Yes.
And she dressed up as John Oliver. And it was horrible. It was horrible. In this kind of thing, the risk is high. You're doing a high wire act. You're imitating someone. You're putting on a costume. It can go really wrong. And for Drewski, it went extremely right. And bravo to him.
I will say the pyrotechnics was a nice touch. I did chuckle at the pyrotechnics. But other than that, I didn't like it. We're going to cut it there. Too hot to touch. Don't want to step on any landmines. Will, Tim, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate another trio. For those who watched, thank you for watching us. We're trying to bring you the worst of the internet with the best of the context. Talk to you later. Subscribe to the feed.
See ya.